Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for the opportunity you have given us to share the gospel to a lost and dying world. We're thankful, Lord, for this medium that you have allowed us to have in which we are able to share the gospel all across this nation, even across this world. We are thankful for the speakers who have been on this call, who have stood bold and declared the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, tonight that our speaker also conveys the message of truth and do it in such a way where he speaks from your divine word of truth, the Bible. We pray, Lord, tonight that if someone is listening tonight and they are seeking the truth, we thank you for Brother Neil, who will stand in their path and to declare unto them the bread of life. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Highland Heights congregation and the contribution and the work they have put behind to make this call what it is. But we're also humbled this evening, Lord, that you have given us another opportunity of life to hear the message of truth and to have another opportunity to correct things within our own life before it is eternally and lasting too late. Be with Brother Neil tonight. Give him a ready recollection of those things he has studied and prepared. In your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to say good evening tonight. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ at Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, co-host of this nationwide gospel evangelistic effort. Welcome to week 3 of our January gospel meeting, where our theme is Sounding the Trumpet. This is a very special elder and preacher's month, and tonight you'll hear from Brother Eddie Neal. Brother Eddie Neal is the elder at Wewoka, Oklahoma, and his topic tonight is About the Gates of Hell. So we want to encourage you before we get started to go grab your Bible, grab pen, and grab paper so that you can follow along with what he will preach so that you can see for yourself whether these things are so. If you are not a member of the Church of Christ, we invite you to obey the gospel, as Brother Neal will also extend heaven's invitation. So tonight, I'm introducing to some of you Brother Eddie Neal. Brother Eddie Neal, tell us about the gates of hell.
Yes, sir. First, I'd like to commend Brother Brooks for his insight, for seeing the potential for such a ministry as the Nationwide Gospel Call program at this time. When we're faced with widespread sickness and death and all the restrictions this pandemic has forced upon us, I thank God for him and for all those who helped with the planning and organizing and carrying out of this series of lessons all these years. I'm thankful for the knowledge that many have been helped by this work, and especially thankful for all the souls saved because of it. Brother Brooks and his crew have certainly planted and watered, and God has given the increase. I'm honored to have a small part in this gospel meeting and to be counted among all the great speakers who have also had a part. The text I've been assigned for this evening is from Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. I invite you to open your Bible to this verse and to check the things I say against the Bible, both this scripture and other scriptures to which I refer. Again, that is Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus had just said in this context that he would build his church on the bedrock of the confession Peter had just made, stating that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then, connected with the conjunction "and" is our text for this lesson. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is, they will not prevail against the church that Jesus was about to build. Let's think for a moment. Just exactly what is Jesus saying with these words? Now, the gates of anything are that which afford entrance into that thing. The gates of hell then, of course, would be sin, transgressions brought about by temptations from Satan, his lies and his plots and his strategies, of all the workings of him and his henchmen. In the New Testament and in secular history, we can see that the devil worked against the church that Jesus built. The Romans tried to destroy it. We're all aware that they persecuted Christians, trying to force them to deny God, hunting them down and imprisoning and killing those who held to faith. They were used as sport for these bloodthirsty people, killed by lions and other wild animals in the Colosseum. They were killed by the sword of Roman soldiers. They were hung on crosses and burned. In Acts 18, we see that the emperor had pretty well eliminated Christians from Rome, claiming they constantly caused insurrection. Those he had not killed were driven out. As this persecution died down after the death of Nero, Christians gradually returned to Rome. This persecution happened again three more times under different emperors over nearly 300 years. History tells us that Christians were tortured terribly by the soldiers of these cruel emperors, trying to make them turn away from God. I'm sure there were some who failed to hold on, but in general, they persevered, and even though killed by Roman soldiers, these will live afterward. The Romans were one of the strongest of Satan's forces used against the church built by Jesus. Even so, the individual members of the church could not be forced to blaspheme or to give up their faith. They were the children of God. They were the citizens of the kingdom of God. They were the called out. They were the church that Jesus said he would build, and the church against which the gates of hell could not prevail. Other pagans also fought against the church. In Acts 16, we see the Apostle Paul preaching in Philippi, and people were added to the church there. While there, he and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison, but they would not stop preaching the word. Also in Acts 19, while preaching in Ephesus, persecution arose from the worshippers of Diana. They rioted and sought the apostle to kill him, but he was convinced by the brethren, that is the church, to leave. Finally, Paul was taken to Rome and imprisoned and finally killed. We see that the spread of the church continued in spite of riots, in spite of beatings, and in spite of imprisonment at the hands of those pagan cities. The church continued to grow and was spread across all Asia and Greece. Even though Satan used these enemies of God to try and stamp out the church that Jesus built, the gates of hell could not prevail against it. Possibly the worst persecution of the early church was from the Jews, those who were formerly the people of God, those who should have recognized Jesus as the prophesied Messiah and embraced the new covenant and the church that Jesus built under it. But they rebelled. In Acts chapter 12, we see the beginning of the widespread, sore persecution from the Jews. Verse 1 says that Herod the king stretched forth his hands to the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. We see, if we continue reading, that he went after Peter also. And all the way through the remainder of the book of Acts, we see the Jews in all the cities in which Paul preached and planted churches, rising up and expelling the apostles, trying to stop the spread of the church that Jesus was building. First from Antioch in Pisidia, then from Iconium and Lystra. The same thing happened in Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and Corinth. The Jews laid wait for the apostle in Macedonia, and then later they caused him to be arrested in Jerusalem. Even while he was being held by the authorities, Jewish assassins swore to stop him from spreading the church in Jerusalem by murdering him. While he was being transported away from his trip on Rome, to Rome, Jews followed, trying to bring about his conviction and execution, thus trying to stop the spread of the church that Jesus was building. But the gates of hell could not prevail. The church has been persecuted throughout history, ancient history and also recent history, and is being persecuted even unto this day. In some places across the world, it must exist underground. Worship must be in hiding, yet it still goes on. As foreign countries gain a stronger foothold in our land, we will surely see the same restrictions on religious freedom that are currently seen in those countries. As Islam continues to advance here, we will be more and more branded as infidels, and the church will be under pressure. As China takes hold of more and more of our nation, we can expect to see more of their attitude toward the church here. I suggest unto you that we are already seeing persecution here in our country all around us today. Physical persecution, as mass shootings, has happened, but even worse than that is the political correctness idea which encroaches upon us today. No doubt the government will place more and more restrictions on those who follow the scriptures, and refuse to accept the tolerance which the liberals demand. We don't yet know what all will take place in the relatively near future for the church that Jesus built, but one thing we do know, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is good news. First, just to know that Jesus established an institution here on earth, which is a home for his followers, a place of fellowship with those of like faith, a place of rest and of worship, a place where we can be edified and comforted, a place where we can leave behind our cares and be near to God and find peace and can grow to be more like Jesus, a place, a family really, in which we help each other to remain faithful and to secure a place in heaven with him. Secondly, it is good news that his church will not be overcome by her enemies, by all the efforts of the devil, no matter who or what he uses as an instrument to persecute us. We might have to meet in hiding or even flee to another place, maybe even to a different country, but the promise of Jesus is sure. This is especially good news to the leadership of the Lord's church as defined in the scripture, that being the elders. Now, as an elder of the church in Wewoka, Oklahoma, I know that I am speaking to elders in churches all over the nation, and maybe even churches in other nations, speaking to men who study the Bible and through righteous living experiences know as much or more than I do. But 2 Peter 1:12 says, "We must not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them." So I remind you, elders, we have the promise from the mouth of Jesus. We can be confident that our service for the church will not be in vain. Of course, congregations may fail and disappear, but the church as a whole will not fail until the Lord returns. We must not give up nor give in to the pressures from the world, but we must persevere in protecting the church, in preserving the church, and in promoting the church that Jesus built, being faithful to her because not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. This is also good news for preachers. You have the assurance that the course of ministry that you have chosen as your life's work will abide. You work to further the church that Jesus built, the kingdom of God here on earth. Your work will accomplish your goal, that being to help souls to be saved and to remain faithful until Jesus returns, and at the same time, your work will cement your salvation. The church you help to grow will continue until it is caught up to heaven on that final day. The church will not fail. Your work will not be lost, because Jesus said, "Not even the gates of hell shall prevail against it." I suggest to both preachers and elders that we have a duty to be proactive, a responsibility to actually go on the offensive in our work as leaders of the church that Jesus built. We should be ready to march right up to the gates of hell, and as Jude wrote in verse 22 and 23, having compassion, save others by snatching them out of the fire. We must not shun those who are in the clutches of the wicked one, but we must be diligent to bring them into the church, against which Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail. Good news also, actually the best news, is for all Christians. When you obey the gospel, become a child of God, one who is saved, you are added to the church that Jesus built, and nothing can take your salvation away. None of the forces used by the devil to attack the church that Jesus built heretofore were able to stamp it out. Neither will any future forces hold power over it. As we are pressured from the outside by the laws of the land eroding our civil freedoms, or by hateful groups seeking to make us conform to their ideas, we can know that our home in heaven for which we strive is safe and sure and will still be there for us when we arrive. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life," Revelation 2:10. No doubt about it, if we become part of Christ's church, and if we remain faithful, we have a crown of life that even the gates of hell cannot take away from us. Good news. Our job, then, is to obey the gospel and become part of the church that Jesus built, and to keep his commandments until he returns. But note in that promise we just looked at in Revelation 2:10, we must be faithful unto death. Paul wrote to the church in Rome that we become more than conquerors when we obey the gospel, and then he followed that up by saying in Romans 8:38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can take our salvation away from us. But the promise in Revelation 2:10, remember, is that we have everlasting life if we remain faithful. So obviously, if we turn our back on God and refuse to be faithful, we throw away our crown. We give up our promised home in heaven. Also, we must be part of the church that Jesus built. The world is full of denominations. There's one on nearly every corner. They all differ in some way, else they would not be separate from each other. If two things differ, one must be wrong. If they are different, if they are separate from the church that Jesus built, then the promise Jesus made is of no effect to them. Jesus started his church, and it can be identified today by a study of the New Testament scriptures. It can be separated from the denominations by comparison to the scriptures describing the church during the New Testament times. It is the church which had been prophesied of old. It is the church that was started on the day of Pentecost after Jesus arose from the grave. It is the church that began in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles and they began to preach Jesus Christ, the Savior. And it is the church to which all those who obeyed were added in Acts 2:47. Today, it is the church that follows that same pattern. Christ's church was spread far and wide by the apostles as they traveled and preached, and it was the same in every place in which it was established, Titus 1:5. The church in Ephesus did not differ from the church in Corinth, nor from the church in Philippi, and so on, because they all were guided by and set up according to the apostles' teaching as delivered to them by the Holy Spirit. Even so also is it today. The church that Jesus built and promised would stand against the gates of hell is still guided by and set up according to the apostles' teaching. We have their teaching in the New Testament. We follow it exclusively. Nothing is added, nothing taken away, nothing changed from what James and Peter and Paul taught the churches when they were established in the first century. We still believe and worship just as the Bible tells us that they did. We still do what they did in the way they did it, for the same reason they did it, and under the same authority by which they did it, that being the authority of Jesus. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said that all authority was his. Did you catch that? Jesus said that all authority was his. Do you see that leaves no authority for any earthly man to decide to change or exclude anything? Therefore, since we are guided by the apostles' teaching and set up accordingly, we can be sure that we are the very church that Jesus built, and not a denomination, not a division separated from it. If you are a believer in Jesus but are part of a denomination, think on these things, because they come directly from the scriptures. If the religious group you are teaching anything man-made, anything not found and supported by the teaching of the apostles in the New Testament, then it is not the church that Jesus built, and it does not have the promise from Jesus that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We know that those to whom the apostles preached directly were saved when they obeyed. We can know then that if we follow and obey that same teaching today, we will be the same as they were then, saved. If we're a part of a denomination that follows anything different from the apostles' teaching, we cannot know of a surety that we are saved. Most of the religious world today teaches that if anyone accepts Jesus into his heart, that they're saved. Or if they pray a particular prayer, they're saved. This is not found in the Bible. In fact, it contradicts biblical teaching. So the church that Jesus built does not teach that. Did we teach that a person is saved by what Jesus said saves? In Mark 16:16, Jesus told the apostles, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Who shall be saved? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The New Testament is full of this teaching and of examples as to how the people were saved when the apostles were there to guide them and to rebuke them if they changed the doctrine that was given to them by the Holy Spirit. That is the only guide to salvation on which we can depend today as well. As for me, I will not gamble my eternal salvation on a denomination's determination that another way of obtaining salvation is acceptable. Rather, I can only depend on being saved by obeying the gospel, by the way that was spoken from the very lips of the Savior. If we are a part of a church, a denomination that teaches otherwise, we're betting on teachings which are neither from Jesus nor from the apostles by the authority of Jesus. I often find that many believers don't really know exactly what the denomination they are a part of actually teaches. Please study to find out. Or contact us and we will study with you. Again, we study from the scriptures. And we can determine together if you are a part of the church that Jesus built. Now, I realize that I'm not the judge, neither is any other man on earth. But we must trust the words of Jesus more than the words of man. Just as Jesus told the Pharisees in Mark 7:7, he said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." If you're a part of a denominational church, one that Jesus did not build, or if you are not a part of any church today, will you not, as Peter in 2 Peter 1:10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure? For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't gamble with salvation. It is too important. It is eternally important. Be sure you're right. If you have questions concerning denominational differences, contact us and we will answer from the scriptures. If you've heard something here tonight which convicts you and convinces you of your need to be truly saved, contact us and we will arrange for you to be baptized into Christ and you will be added to the church that Jesus built, and you can know that the gates of hell will not prevail. Let us know if there's any way that we can help.
Thank you, Brother Neil. We appreciate that lesson tonight about the gates of hell. We appreciate that lesson. If you're listening tonight to Brother Neil's lesson and you have heard something that has pricked your heart and you want to be baptized, please, he extended heaven's invitation. What's necessary is that you hear the word of God, and Brother Neil has given us the word of God this evening. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It is then required that you believe the message that you have heard this evening. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him." Then it is required that you repent of your sins, have a change of heart that brings about a change of action. Luke 13:3 and verse number 5, "I tell you, nay, that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Then it is required that you make that great public confession. The Bible says in Matthew 10:32-33, that if you confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father who art in heaven. Then Jesus says in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And then you are added to the church of Christ by being baptized in a watery grave of baptism. You contact the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus will only add you to the one church his fathers have authorized, the church he purchased with his own blood, the church of Christ. We are so glad for Brother Neil this evening. If you've been listening to this call and you have a question about anything that Brother Neil has shared this evening, please email us at nationwide@gospelcall.com. And when you do so, please know that we will respond back to you. Also, you can contact me, Brother Anthony Flunder, at area code 806-787-2564. We promise that if you have some additional Bible study on this topic tonight, please know we will avail ourselves to do so. Also, we look forward to having a great call on next week. Brother Gage Coldwater, we'll be hearing from him on next week. He and Brother Neil substituted for tonight. Brother Coldwater had a death in the family that he was attending to. But on next week, he'll be speaking on the important topic about the church built by Jesus. So we invite you to come back and join us on next week. And we look forward to having another great gospel meeting call. So at this time, if you can pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the lesson tonight. We know, Lord, that your word will not return to you void. We are thankful for Brother Neil. We pray, Lord, that those listening were able to hear something that pricked their heart, something that will stir their conscience this evening about their current circumstance in regards to salvation. Pray, Lord, that he challenged them in his message tonight to be able to examine where they are in relation to their soul. Thankful, Lord, for your son Jesus and the clarity of the gospel that all men can understand, that truth is knowable, and we are thankful for the message tonight. Pray, Lord, as we conclude this week, we ask that you be with all of our listeners, watch over and protect them, and we ask, Lord, that those seeking truth continue to find the gospel of your son Jesus Christ, which is able to save their souls. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we'll see you next week where Brother Gage Coldwater will kick us off on next Monday. Thank you for calling the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. Have a good night.